Okay, Rabbeinu Bachai, Parshas Vayeshev. So, Rabbeinu Bachai begins with the Pasuk in Mishlei and Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Chaf Beis and Chaf Gimel. Al tigzal dal ki dalhu v'al tadaki ashir, ani bashar, rather, not ashir, ani. So, do not steal from the poor man, because he's poor. And don't crush the ani in the gate, ki Hashem yariv rivam, because Hashem will fight their fights, v'kavas kaveim nefesh, and will kill the people who mess with them. Rabbeinu Bachai says that there are four groups of people that the Torah constantly reminds us to have rachmanis on. And those are poor people, orphans, widows, and gerim. So he says that when Shlomo HaMelech says things in Mishlei, he doesn't just repeat mitzvos that are said in the Torah. He's adding something. Whenever he says over a mitzvah in the Torah, he's either adding some kind of idea, something to it. So when he says, don't steal from a poor man because he's poor, well, what does that mean? Well, obviously, you can't steal from anybody. You can't steal from rich people either. So what it means is people try to steal from poor people because nobody stands up for them. They have less means to defend themselves. They can't afford the fancy lawyers and stuff like that. And nobody likes them. Nobody stands up for them. So it knows that they're an easy target. So it's saying don't steal from a poor person because he's poor, meaning because you think you can get away with it, because Hashem is Yariv Rivam. Hashem fights their fights. And he adds that we find also by Almanas as well, Almana and a Yasom, they're also people who can be easy targets. They're easily, they're more downtrodden. They're more likely to be hurt. And they also have no one to stand up for them. So all these people, the Rabbeinu Bachai says, trust in Hashem, because that's the only one who can help them is Hashem. And because they don't have that nisayon, so to speak, of trusting in whatever, the police or the lawyers or the whatever, that they'll be saved. But they have only Hashem to trust in. So therefore Hashem helps them more because they're putting their full trust in Hashem. And therefore Hashem will fight their fights and go after those who hurt them in a much stronger way. It says, kavos kaveim nefesh, that's death. So therefore don't mess with them. And also gerim. Gerim also, can be downtrodden. And he says they're also alone, and tzaddikim are also called gerim. Why are tzaddikim called gerim? So he says ger comes from the Lashon gargir. A gargir is a grain that comes, the grain is split from the plant. So too, the tzaddik sees himself as alone, just like a ger. That's why he's called a ger. He sees himself alone, separate from everybody. And his living on this world is just very temporary. He knows they know they can go at any time. They don't know when Hashem is going to come for them. They can go at any time. So they feel very temporary here. So that's why they're a ger. Like David Melech says, ger anochi baretz. So, and they spend their time here, making sure they have food for the road, as he says, doing mitzvah so they have what to have in Olam Haba. So he ends off by saying that all the avos called themselves gerim, or were called gerim. Like Avram, it says, Ger v'soshav anochi imachem. Yitzchak, it says, Gur ba'aretz hazos. And by Yaakov, which is how we get into our parsha, Vayeshev Yaakov b'aretz migurei aviv. And it says, that's where he gets from. All the others had the Lashon Ger. And that's the beginning of the parsha, where it mentions b'aretz migurei aviv, as understanding that it applies to Yaakov as well. Okay, so it says, Ela toldos Yaakov Yosef. Says these are the children of Yaakov, Yosef. So there are many pshatim given in this, but the Rabbeinu Bachai says that, according from a medrash, that Yosef included all the milas of all the brothers. That the main, these are the children of Yaakov, Yosef, meaning because Yosef included all of the things that all the brothers had. He was a bechor like Reuven. He was a melech in Mitzrayim. He was a melech like Yehuda. He had the chachma of Yisachar, as it says, Paro said, Ein Navan v'chacham mimecha. That idea. He had all the milas of all the brothers were in Yosef, so that's why it's called Ela Toldos Yaakov, Yosef. These are the children of Yaakov, Yosef. Yosef included all the milas of all the children. Then it says, Vayoveh Yosef is called the Basamra'ah Elavihem. So Rabbi Nachman says interesting thing. Others say this as well, that mevi diba is different from hotzi diba. Mevi diba means truth. If a person is mevi diba, maybe lashon hara, but it's the truth. And motzi diba is lies. That's lashon hara. That's a lie. And that was like by the Meraglim said about its other hotzi motzi diba. Whereas Yosef is mevi diba. Mevi diba means it's the truth. Motzi diba means it's a lie. Okay, and then we have Yaakov making for Yosef Iksonas Pasim. So there's all kinds of pshatim what Pasim means. So Rabbi Nachman brings here some that are, there's a medrash that says Iksonas Pasim comes from Pius. They were all mata, but Pius is a lottery. They were all mata la Pius, who was going to, how they were going to kill him, how they were going to kill Yosef. And that was hinted to, I guess, by Nevuah, in the words Iksonas Pasim. That they made a pious about how to kill him, and then they made a pious about who's going to bring the thing to their father, the cloak to their father. And he mentions that did not work out well for Yehuda. Yehuda brought it to his father, and he said, "Hakirna lemiha chosem elemiha ksonas." Right, he brought it to Yaakov and says, "Hakirna, check whose cloak this is." And because of that, he was told, Yehuda was told later by Tamar, "Hakirna lemiha chosem es hazeh." That's a famous thing with the Hakirna, Hakirna. However, what's less famous is this other part that he says, that when Yehuda said to Yaakov, Hakirna lemi haksonis hazeh, haksonis bin chayim lo, or whatever the exact words were. So when he said that, Yaakov's, pasku chayev shel Yaakov, I guess Yaakov, I don't know, stopped breathing for a minute or whatever. His life went away from him momentarily. Maybe he fainted. I don't know. It says, Pasku chayev shel Yaakov, and because of that, Pasku chayev banav min olam. You hear that? Because of that, Yehuda's children, Erev Onan, died. Now, obviously, it wasn't in a vacuum. Erev Onan did bad stuff. But, you know, there's a whole big picture that goes up in Shemayim to decide what happens to people. And this is part of that picture, because Yehuda caused Yaakov to lose life, or whatever that means, Pascha Chaya, for that moment when he said, Lemi Aksonis Hazeh, so too his sons lost their life. Okay, then we have Yosef telling the story about Finei Anachnu Me'almim Alumim B'so Chasadeh, we're gathering bundles of wheat in the field, and all the bundles bow down to him, so to his bundle. So all the brothers chapped that meant that Yosef said he was going to be king over them. They all got the message that all the bundles of the brothers are going to bow to his bundle. That means he thinks he's going to be king. What they did not chap was the bundle of wheat part, that the reason they were going to be bowing to him was because of wheat. That's why they were going to be in Mitzrayim. That's the whole story happened, because they needed food. That they didn't chap. They did chap the part that he was going to be melech. Then he points out another interesting part, that the brothers, the Chazal tell us that a chalom, a dream, goes based on how you interpret it. In other words, if you interpret it for the good, it'll be good. If you interpret it for the bad, it's bad. So the brothers who hated his guts, why didn't the brothers interpret this dream somehow for bad? So Rabbi Nachman answers, because Hashem wanted it to be for good. Hashem wanted this thing to happen, and he made it happen that way. Okay, so the brothers get mad at him, and eventually they throw him into a pit. But they were going to kill him, and Reuven saves him. Reuven says, Lo nakenu nefesh. Nefesh, whatever. Let's not kill him. So Rabbi Nachman says something fascinating. Again, it's the Ramban as well, but that's the way Rabbi Nachman is. He many times quoting the Ramban. But either way, Rabbi Nachman says, you can make a deek, and it doesn't say, Lo naken nafsho. And then it doesn't say, Al tishbechu damo, which would mean, let's not kill him, let's not spill his blood, because Reuven wanted to show that he's on their team, right? Because if he would have said, oh, let's feel bad for Yosef, they would have said, oh, we don't feel bad for Yosef, we're going to kill him. But Reuven said, okay, but don't you kill him, because it's not good that you should be a murderer, even if he's really deserving of death. It's not good for us to be the ones to kill him. So that he didn't say, let's not kill, lo nakenu nafsho, he said, lo nakenu nefesh, let's not kill a person, al tishbechu dam, let's not spill someone's blood, meaning let's us not be the killers, because that's bad. So we'll just throw him in a pit, and that'll be it. So we shouldn't do it ourselves. That's what he had to do to get them to agree, to show that it wasn't because he liked Yosef, because then they might have started questioning him. Rather, it was to there was that, so they shouldn't be involved in the murder themselves. But it really was, because Reuven was trying to save him. Okay, so they throw him in the pit. Then it says, "Haborik in Bomayim." Everybody knows the famous Chazal. It's brought in a couple of Gemaras. That Haborik in Bomayim, that there was no water, but there was snakes and scorpions in it. Where did Chazal get this from? Well, the Pashup Shad is because it says there's two mutim. The pit was empty. There was no water. So if it's empty, of course there's no water. But Rabbeinu Tam understands that they knew that there were snakes. How do you know that there were snakes? So Rabbeinu Tam says the way Chazal knew that there were snakes is because it says in Bomayim, and by the Midbar, in Dvarim Perek Ches, Pasuk Tesvav, it says that the Midbar was a place of Tzimaon asher in Bomayim, asher in Mayim. And there in the Midbar, we knew there were snakes. So that's how Chazal knew, it was like that kind of thing. It says in Bomayim as a remnant to that Pasuk, that they had no Mayim, but they did have snakes and scorpions like in the Midbar. Okay. And it says, "Vayishlachu es ksonas pasim vayaviu," that they sent the ksonas pasim to their father. It was brought to the fathers. So the pasuk shalom vayishlachu means that the shluchim brought it. You know, the messengers brought it. But he brings another possibility. Again, this is the Ramban says the same thing. But another possibility is vayishlachu es ksonas pasim means they stabbed the coat, because there's a pasuk in Iyov that uses the word that says b'shelach ya'avoru. That means with the sword. Shelach there means sword. So vayishlachu could means they stabbed the ksonas pasim a million times to show that he was attacked. Okay, that's just interesting. Anyway, next, we have the story of Erva Onan after the story of Mechirias Yosef. Why are they next to each other? So, says Rabbeinu Bechai, to connect Gilgal to Gilgal. I'm sure most of us are familiar what a Gilgal is, that when a person dies, sometimes the neshama comes back later in somebody else's guf. So that's what Yibum is. When a person does Yibum, the neshama of the nifter, the husband who died, goes into the neshama of the new child. And Erva Onan went in, or I should say the other way, Peretz and Zarach, that were the sons of Yibum, right? That was from Yibum, Peretz and Zarach. They had the neshamas of Erva Onan. That's what Rabbeinu Bechai says. And similarly, we have the story of the idea of Gilgal by the Mechiras Yosef, because even though the 10 brothers were not, nothing happened to them, in the Asari Harugi Malchus, those were Gilgulim of the 10 who got killed were Gilgulim of the Shvatim, the 10 Shvatim who sinned in Mechiras Yosef. So that which the king said that he was going to punish them for, remember the king said, bringing me the shoes, and he was going to punish them for what they did to their brothers. Apparently he was right. It says that these were the Gilgulim of the Shvatim. Now, Rabbeinu Bechai points out, what do you mean the Gilgulim of the Shvatim? Why 10? There weren't 10, there were 9. What not? Reuven wasn't part of it. Reuven didn't sell him. Reuven was away, and he thought he was in the board, came back, he was gone, right? So Reuven wasn't part of it. Obviously Yosef wasn't part of it, and Binyamin wasn't part of it. So there should only have been 9. Not Asari, so there shouldn't have been Asari who were Gilgulim Malchus. There should have been 9. So he offers two possibilities. Either number 10 was Yosef himself. Obviously, Yosef didn't sin in a sense, but in a sense he did, because he was the one who caused the hatred to himself by bringing by being Motzi Mevi Diba to their father about the stuff that he thought was wrong that the brothers were doing. So he caused his own, he was sinned in a sense that way. The other possibility he brings is that this was Reuven was number 10, and it was not for this because of Mechiras Yosef, but because of what he, the story with Bilbil Yitzue Yaviv, what he did with Bilhah, you know, her bed, switching the beds. Okay, so then again, we have the story, this begins with Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda has these two kids, and then Vatosef Od Vatelet Beim Vatikrash Moshela, then she has a third kid, Shela. And she was in Ksiv Belidito, so the Pashup Shad is Ksiv is a place. But there are different Mefarshim about why that place would have been named that or what that meant. Anyway, Rabbeinu Bechai says Ksiv is a Remez, it's the same gematria as one of the Shemos of Hashem, which is Chaf, then Avav, then Azayin, then Avav. That's one of the Shemos of Hashem. And right, it's the letters above Yudke Vavke. So, anyway, that's one of the Shemas of Hashem, and it's good for tefillah. he says. I don't know what that means, but he says, a good shame for Tfilah, so he was davening in that shame over there that he should have another kid. Okay, so then we have the story with Tamar, and Yehuda says she should be taken out to be killed. So it says, Vatamar Yehuda hotziyua v'sisa reif v'hi mutzeis. So the first letters of Yehuda hotziyua v'tisa reif v'hi is Yudke Vavke. Not v'hi mutzeis, it's hi mutzeis. Yehuda, Vatamar Yehuda hotziyua v'tisa reif and hi mutzeis. So that's Yudke Vavke, but it's spelled in the right order. Remember, Rabbeinu Bachai told us if the Yudke Vavke is spelled backwards ever in a pasuk like that, that means it's Midas Adin. Here, Yudke Vavke is spelled frontwards, the Kesidron, therefore it's Mo Aridas Rachamim. Now, but he's saying to killers, so that doesn't sound like Midas Rachamim. So Rabbeinu Bachai explains this is Hashem making something, even though Yehuda thought he was it was going to be Midas Adin, Hashem, this was all part of the plan to save her. And to bring, obviously, out of this whole story came Melech HaMashiach. And she has these kids, Zarach, and Peretz. So he says that Zarach is connected to Chama, obviously. And Peretz is connected to Levana. Not so obvious why that is. But Peretz is connected to Levana. Someone said, because the Levana is Nefretzes. I'm not sure I understand that. But whatever it is. Peretz, he says, is connected to Levana. Okay, now Peretz, as you know, is the David comes from Peretz. Malchus based David comes from Peretz. So he brings on his own. He says that the Levana has 29 days, and if you count the generations from Peretz on down through Shlomo, and then count the kings straight down till Tzidkiyo, there's 29, because that's the amount of days in a lunar month. Or he quotes a medrash that from if you count from Avram Avinu down generations, there are 30 generations. Number 15 is Shlomo, and the Medrash says that that's like that's the Melucha of Beis David, that the moon goes till its peak at 15, it's full, and then 15, and then it's on its way down till it's gone. So the moon was at its peak in the time the Malchus Beis David was at its peak in the time of Shlomo. That was the highlight, and then it went down all the way till Tzidkio, and then the Levana was gone. And that's why when we say Kiddush HaChodesh, when we're blessing the new moon, we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. So the Pasha Pshat, he says, what's the Pasha Pshat, is that the moon is called David. And so they're all related, obviously. And when we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, we're saying, oh, see, the moon, which is called David, so it's Chai V'Kayim means it's you can see the moon. But we all know. I don't think you have to be much of a Kabbalist to know what we're trying to say. That just like the moon renews, so too there will be a Mashiach that will renew in Malchus Beis David, will renew itself. B'mheira v'yameinu. Okay, then we have the story of Yosef. Yosef goes to Mitzrayim and he's sold to the Sarat HaBachim, which, of course, there are different explanations of what Sarat HaBachim means. Rabbeinu Bachai goes with the explanation Sarat HaBachim was chief executioner. Okay, and it says that this executioner saw that Hashem ito. So Rabbeinu Bachai points out that this executioner didn't know Hashem at all. He was a Mitzri, and what does he know from Hashem? Rather, he says, Hashem told him in a dream that he got, L'chvod Yosef, that, Hashem is with him, and don't mess with him, or whatever, that Hashem is with him. That's how he knew Hashem was with him. It's not like he was a Navi or a Tzaddik, not at all. Hashem told him in a dream. And it says, "V'lo yada yitom yuma kim alechem asher hu ochel." There's lots of different pshatim what that means. And his master didn't lo yada yitom yuma kim alechem. So we know, most of us probably remember that it means kim alechem asher hu ochel means Ashes Potiphar, his wife. But it's very interesting. Rabbeinu Bachai says, "Lo yada yitom uma," means he didn't ask Yosef any questions what Yosef was doing. He trusted Yosef implicitly to run the show. And Yosef never asked him any questions. Lo yada yitom uma means Yosef never asked, should I do this, should I do that? Kim alechem asher ochel, he only asked him what he wanted for supper. That's what he says. that can change every night. Today you want this, tomorrow you want that. Every day, whatever's in your mood for. So that's all he asked him for. Kim alechem asher ochel, I just asked him what he would like to eat. But other than that, Yosef didn't ask any questions, and he was trusted implicitly. And then we have Eishes Potiphar trying to seduce Yosef, and it says Vayimain, he refused, and it says that with the Shalshelis, that famous trump that goes Vayimain, right? So he says that Rabbeinu B'chai says that trump is meaningful, and we learn from the trump that Yosef didn't just say nah, I don't think so. He was no, really want, but Tachlis Hamiyun, he did not. He refused. So he says, Rabbeinu B'chai says, you can learn from the trup that which isn't mefurish. Like a person, you could see from their expressions more than what their words are saying. See, this is a very interesting thing, that he says you could learn from the trup what the Torah means, even if it doesn't say so. So we learn from this shalshelis that you say, that he was really memayin. But that's an interesting thing to keep in mind for the rest of the Chumash, that he says the trup is like a person's mannerisms and the look on their face, you could see what they mean even though they don't say it. He just brings an interesting medrash I thought I'd mention, that it says that there are three people who are called Naamanim, three people who are really called Naaman. One is a Baal Bayis who takes off his Trumas and Maaseros properly, and no one suspects that he wasn't 100% honest with it, because that takes a lot of honesty. Another one is a single person who lives in a neighborhood of Zonos, and he doesn't sin. In lecha ne'eman gadol mizeh. And an anish that had a pikadon, and he wasn't nechshon on it also. So it's just, I just like that line, because many people feel like, unfortunately in the society we live in, we feel like that, where we're in a shchuna Zonos, so a person who stays b'kedusha, in lecha ne'eman gadol mizeh. So then we have the story with Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. Yosef runs away, and when her husband comes home, Eishes Potiphar says to Potiphar, "Katvirim ha'ila asali avdecha." And Chazal tell us that was b'shas tashmish. She said to him, "Things like this your eved did to me." Now Chazal also tell us that he was a sris, so therefore tashmish didn't go that well. So he explains that it means chibuk v'nishuk. That's what they did, and she was saying that this is what Yosef did to me, chibuk and nishuk, and that's what he was trying to get me to do more, and then I screamed and he left. But the Rabbeinu B'chai points out, if it was really true that he had actually been with her, she never would have told her husband. She would have hid it, because in those days, if a woman was with someone else who was not her husband, even if it was kind of forced, or even totally forced, it would passel her to her husband. Her husband would be disgusted by it. So she never would have told him. She would have kept it private. So, of course, it wasn't true. And she said, anyway, when she was telling her husband this lie, so she didn't say that there was a full bia, because then she would have been disgusting to her husband. Rather, she said, chibuk v'nishuk. That way she could get away with the lie without it hurting her at all, and then saying, look, he was trying to do this stuff to me before I kicked him out. Then we have Yosef being put in the boar, and he says that this is Yosef being put in the boar is a remez to Klal Yisrael and Golos in general. How he knows that, I don't know. I don't think he does know. He says v'yitachin, so it sounds like he's just suggesting that the story of Yosef in the boar is a remez la'asid, that Yosef is thrown into the boar. He says, by the way, that's why we were there masakin in Yalav Yavo. We need to be pulled out of the boar. And the Shechina is with, just like the Shechina was with Yosef in the boar, the Hashem Shechina is with us in Golos. And just like they were found chesed in the eyes of the jailhouse warden, so too Hashem lets us find chesed in the eyes of where we stay, generally. And Hashem is mata chesed to us, and eventually Hashem brings about the Siba to save us. Okay, so then the Sarah Ofim and Sarah Mashkim, they tell him his story. So Rabbeinu B'chai says, it's Ra'i when you're telling over a Chalom to someone, if you want someone to interpret your dream, be careful how you say it, because the Sarah Mashkim said, Bachalomi, which comes from the word, that was his first word, in my dream, and Chalom comes from the word Chalim, which is to heal, whereas the Sarah Ofim said, Af ani b'chalami. His first word was af. Af is anger, and he was killed. And so he says it goes by, Allah can go by the way you say it, so make sure you're careful how you say it. And finally, what was the sin of Yosef? If Yosef was punished because he asked the Sar Mashkim to remember him, what did he do wrong that he deserved to be in jail another 2 years? Or Rabbeinu Bachai says he did not sin in... his sin was the fact that he asked the Sar Mashkim to remember him, because a tzaddik like him should have had bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem will have this guy, use this Sar HaMashkim as a way to get Yosef out of the bor. In other words, Yosef recognized that this was his ticket out of there. But what he should have done is just be quiet and had trust in Hashem, that Hashem would have used that Sar HaMashkim to get him out of there by the fact that he pleaded with him, please. So there was some lack of bitachon in Hashem. Again, not necessarily something for us. We have to put in ishtadlus. Just the key with everything is the appropriate ishtadlus. So this was not appropriate for a tzaddik like him. And therefore, that was what was the sin was. It's not that Yosef thought that the Sar HaMashkim was going to save him and he had bitachon in the Sar HaMashkim. He had bitachon in Hashem. The problem was he shouldn't have said anything. He shouldn't have asked the guy. He should have just let him do his thing. And that's why he had to stay in jail an extra 2 years. I guess, maybe I said finally, but there's one other small little thing. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us what happened to the Sar HaMashkim and Sar HaOfim. The Rabbeinu Bachai just says that the Indian of this parsha was to tell us that a person should be mevakesh ritzon hamelech v'shi yizahar mechamaso. Be careful not to anger the king and to find ratzon in his eyes. And he doesn't just mean the king Paro. He means the melech malchim lahavdil, the melech malchim lachim Hashem. That we should always be trying to find favor in the Bona Shalom's eyes, and then it will be good for us. Okay.